Again, vision makes you a different kind of man, a special man. You are not a normal person. That's the thing that we need to understand this time. If you have a vision, your vision transforms you in your own life. Of course, your attitude is changing, your perspective is changing, your character is changing, everything is changed, you are transformed, you become a new creation. It is true, but at the same time, you know what happens? It really affects or make you a special man. A special man. What do you mean by special man? Yesterday I told you, a worldly man sees normality in worldliness. A worldly man sees normality in worldliness. When a worldly man says he is normal, that means he is worldly. You get me? But when you are having a vision, when you are touched by the Holy Spirit, when you have a vision, you are special. You are not thinking like the other people think. You are not doing things like other people are doing things. You are special. Special means it is not just abstaining from all the wrong things. Sometimes we need to abstain even from normal things. See, many times we say, oh, I do not do this and that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. All things are lawful for me. What does it mean? If you ask, it is lawful, but I will not do all the things that are lawful. But I will go only for things that are profitable or that builds up. I will not be enslaved. Even in some other passage, especially in chapter 10, we see the same thing. Everything is lawful, but everything doesn't build up. Everything is lawful, but everything doesn't build up. So a Christian who has a vision, he is seeing things, or he is looking at things, he is not just asking one question whether it is lawful or not. Most of the time this is a problem with us. Everywhere people say, I'm not doing anything wrong. Okay? Even the students, they say, what is wrong in that? Whenever there is a question answer session, today also we have. So most of the time, what is wrong in that? Every time we have only one question. What is wrong in that? What do you mean? If it is not wrong, then I have all the right to do that. So I will, in economics usually we say maximum utilization. That means, you know, the maximum benefits I will have, the maximum pleasure I will have. This is the problem with the community in these days. They say, what is wrong in that? If it is not wrong, why should I be abstain from that pleasure? Because the maximum pleasure in this life, and then I need an assured seat in heaven. This is the spirituality of many of the people. You get me? Most of the people, they want to get the maximum pleasures in this world, and finally, they need an assured seat in heaven. Earlier, I heard a story that in a Sunday school class, I have said it many places, that the teacher was teaching on the rich man and Lazarus, and finally he asked a question. Students, I just want to ask you one question. Whom do you want to become? The rich man or Lazarus? And the students, they were crying and said, we never want to become that rich man because that rich man is going to hell. I would be the person like Lazarus. And one smart guy was there. He said, teacher, when I'm in this world, I want to become like that rich man. And when I die, I want to become like Lazarus. So most of the people, they just want to live like the rich man with all the pleasures of this world, and finally they need to they make sure that they have an assured seat in heaven. You get me? That's the reason why we are asking, what is wrong in that? If it is wrong, I will never do that because I fear I will not go to heaven. You get me? So a real Christian, a person with a vision, he never asked this question, what is wrong in that? Maybe it is not wrong. That's the reason why Paul says everything is lawful. If you ask, is it lawful? Yes, it is. It is lawful. But I will not be enslaved to anything. I'm not enslaved. That's what Paul says. I'm not enslaved by anything. A person with a vision is a person who has some kind of disciplines, who is a person who is abstaining from even normal things. That's why I said what is needed is to see that we are building up the kingdom of God. Because when you have a vision, you have only one thing in your mind, that is the kingdom of God. As I told you yesterday, even if you're a student, there's no exception for the students. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Did he say, all of you, you hear my message except students, I tell you one thing, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Did he say like that? You are not exempted. The student community is not exempted from the target that is set before us. What is it? The kingdom of God. Even if you are a student, your first priority is not your studies. Your first priority is the kingdom of God. Once Lenin said, the first priority of a student is study. The second priority of a student is studying. And the third priority of a student is studying. Lenin said, it is not the words of Jesus Christ. The first priority of a student is the kingdom of God. The second priority of a student is the kingdom of God. And the third priority of the student is the kingdom of God. But I told you, whatever you do, you need to do it for the Lord. Even when you are eating something or drinking something, that's what the Bible says. When you eat, when you drink, do it as if you are doing it for the Lord. Likewise, when you study, you need to study as if you are doing it for the Lord. Okay. So when you do it for the Lord, then certainly you will do it in the best way, of course. But what is your prime concern? Your prime concern is the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. Prime concern. Because God has put you in the campus as a missionary. You're studying, that is there, you need to study. When you get a job, of course, you need to do the job. Sometimes people ask me, is there any wrong in doing evangelism work along with my work? I used to say, no, you cannot. You can do a work along with your evangelism. You get me? So kingdom of God is the priority. You can do other things along with that. But when you do it as if you are doing for the Lord. So I will not be enslaved for anything. This is the problem with the younger generation these days. They are enslaved to many things. They are passionate towards many things. Enslaved. They are enslaved to music. They are enslaved to cricket. They are enslaved to Facebook. They are enslaved to internet. They are enslaved to chat. A lot of things. Enslaved. When you are enslaved by anything, you are not a missionary. You are not a visionary. You don't have a vision. When you are enslaved. How many hours you are spending? That is the biggest problem. I don't think you should not have an account in Facebook. I'm not saying that you should not use internet. I'm not saying these kind of things. I'm not an extremist in these kind of things. But how many time you are spending with that? That's the biggest question. How much time? If you're spending a lot of time for anything, you're enslaved. If you're a true missionary, if you're a true person with a vision, then certainly you will not be enslaved by anything. Anything. You get me, my friends? So we need to see that we are becoming not normal people. We are holy. What is holiness? Or what is the biblical meaning for holiness? Is something different. You know that. It is not just, you know, abstaining from all bad things. Sometimes that is our understanding. It's not just abstaining from all kind of bad things or evil things or wicked things. You need to be holy. If you want to become holy, then certainly you need to abstain from many normal things. Because you are different, you are separated. You are separated for the Lord. The God has separated His faithful for Himself. We are living for Himself. This is a big, big problem in these days. In these days, this is a problem with the religion. I call it is heathen Christianity. You know, what is it? In these days, people see Christianity as a means to gain things. They say, Jesus is for me. Me, that is the emphasis. I, me. So Jesus, they say, yeah, Jesus has given me this thing. Jesus has given me money. Jesus, He gave me the job. Jesus, when I was praying, when I was crying, Jesus was hearing my prayers. Jesus for me. True, Jesus is for you. But that is a lower level of Christianity. That is a heathen Christianity, I call it. What is the truth? You for Jesus. Jesus for me and I for Jesus are two different things. When you are a person holy, then you are not looking how much benefit you can have from Jesus. Rather, you are always thinking of how I can be a useful instrument in the hands of Jesus. Okay? This is exactly what we need to learn. Of course, we need to do something for the Lord, but above all, something is there. We are allowing Jesus to live in you. We are allowing Jesus to live in me. That's why there is a big book, a book that is entitled like Stop Living for Jesus. The book says, stop living for Jesus. Then, let Jesus live in you. Stop living for Jesus. Let Jesus live in you. So the first thing, Jesus is living for you. Jesus is living for you. That is the normal spirituality. Then, you are living for Jesus. That is the second phase of spirituality. Then what is true spirituality? Jesus is living in me. You understand? The first phase of spirituality, what is it? Jesus is living for me. The second phase of spirituality, I am living for Jesus. And the third phase of spirituality, Jesus lives in me. That's where we are in union with Jesus Christ. That's where we have a vision. And I want to say about the passion of a leader. The passion of a leader. I'm little running fast. So, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground of boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, for if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my preaching I may make the gospel free of charge, not making full use of my right in the gospel. So the passion, Paul says, for if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. And he says, woe unto me if I do not preach gospel. I do not find any ground of boasting if I preach gospel. Many times, you know, when we preach gospel, we have a ground of boasting. We boast, yes, I preach gospel to these people. You know, many times when we do it, we have some kind of satisfaction in our mind. And, you know, yesterday as I told, maybe it is not in the mind, in the soul. Oh, good. I could work for the Lord. Good. A kind of pseudo-satisfaction. Many times that doesn't reach the spirit. I told you yesterday, we have body, soul, and spirit. All these things are created by God. Don't think that any of this thing either the body or the soul or the spirit. One thing is higher, of course it's higher, but don't think that it is evil. Don't think body is evil. Body is not evil because it is created by God. The soul, it is not evil because it is our human faculty which is created by God. So when you are satisfying your bodily needs, like eating food or drinking water, it's not an evil thing. It is good. You need to satisfy your bodily needs in its proper way. I repeat, it's in the proper way. So there's no wrong in that. And the soul, that's also godly. So don't think that when your soul is rejoicing in something, it's an evil thing. It is not an evil thing. When you sing a song, many times the rhythm, the things that we get, that comes to your ears, that comes to your mind, the ambience, everything gives us some kind of what? A joy in our soul. It's okay. I'm not against that. And when we are exerted and when our body, you know, when we sing a song and we just make a loud noise and things like that, I'm not against these kind of things. But the problem, this might be a hindrance for you to enjoy Jesus in spirit. Because when you are joyful in your soul, you are quenching the thirst of the spirit many times. I'm not saying always, many times. So what happens? You are going back home satisfied after the worship in the church. But your spirit is still lacking something. And the quench of that spirit, the thirst of that spirit, the query of that spirit, the thing that is lacking in your spirit, you are not feeding it because you already fed your soul and the soul is satisfied and you are not worrying about what is happening in your spirit. So what happens? All this ecstasy makes you happy and you think that you have attained everything that is needed for a Christian. You get me, my friends? This is the biggest problem of just satisfying the soul. The soul is divine. Don't think that it is something bad. So I love people enjoying songs emotionally, the singing, everything is good. But it should pierce or break the soul, and you need to see that it is entering into the spirit. And when it is entering into the spirit, it is not just a satisfaction. No, don't expect that when it reaches your spirit, many times you are not satisfied. Rather, you are troubled. And only then you are seeing yourself. And that helps you to depend upon the Lord to get yourself transformed. That changes your character. Transformation. Many times the satisfaction or the ecstasy in your soul, it doesn't transform you. So if you need a transformation, make sure that you are not stopping everything at the soul level, but we are seeing that the soul is broken and it reaches inside. A brokenness in the body that makes things reach the soul. And a brokenness in the soul make things enter into the spirit. So that's why brokenness is a spiritual discipline. A spiritual discipline. Only then things reaches your spirit. Get me, my friends? Okay. So here we see that I told you, we are not like ordinary people. We are different people. And we will have a passion of the perishing souls. Here we see the passion of Paul. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. What does it mean? Why he say, woe to me if I do not preach gospel? Many times we think it's because God has commanded to preach the gospel, and if he is not obeying, then, you know, of course, God is going to punish him. Do you think that this is the thing? No. This is the biggest problem. Many times we are asking people to share gospel or be a witness of Jesus. Always we caught a passage. The Lord has commanded you to go to all the world and preach gospel. So this is a commandment. This is the great commandment. Every time we speak about great commandment, and everybody should preach gospel. Why? We have a commandment. Of course we have a commandment. But do you think that Paul was sharing gospel, Paul was preaching gospel just because there was a commandment? When a commandment is there, it is a force from outside. But this is not something that, you know, a force from outside. Woe to me, that means, you know, he feels that if he do not preach gospel, he is losing something inside, or his inner heart is broken. He feels that his body is broken. He feels that he cannot eat anything. A passion. So the preaching of the gospel, the sharing of the gospel, the witnessing, it should be an outcome of your love towards people. That's the reason why in last class I said, what is needed is a transformation in our attitude towards people. When you start loving people, you will be moved with compassion. You're seeing people differently. And you start loving people. I tell you, my friends, if you do not love a person, you have no right to share gospel with him. Even I have heard that people think that it is a responsibility that is given by God. So you just, hey, don't worry. God has asked you to preach gospel. Somebody was preaching in a street and he just was reading all the signboards. Maveli store, Jackie Medicals, Anima Travels. All these signboards will testify that I have preached gospel here. Now I have no more responsibility. He was just reading all those signboards and says that yes, I have done what I ought to do. Okay? No more. I have no responsibility for your soul. What is lacking there? It is love. It is love. That's the reason why I say if you do not love a person, you have no right to share gospel with him. The first thing that is needed is to love the person. So when Paul was looking at his own life, he was feeling all discomfort, every kind of troubles in his body and soul and spirit when he was not sharing gospel with somebody. So if he is not sharing gospel with somebody, he do not feel eating. If when he failed to share gospel with somebody, he cannot even breathe. He felt that he is somewhere else. He felt that he is in a disaster. When you share gospel, he says that woe unto me means, you know, the pain that he feels inside, in his body, in his soul, in his spirit. Woe unto me. Do we have this kind of passion? That's the question. I heard about the story of a missionary who had an eye surgery. He was working among the heathen people and he was admitted in the hospital. After the surgery, the doctor said that you shall not use water, wash your face, nothing. Even you cannot cry, because if water comes out, there will be an infection and that may cause your sight. So the daughter of that missionary was sitting with him for 3 days, or it was asked for 3 days or 4 days. Don't cry even. No washing your face, nothing like that. And the daughter was sitting with him all those days, and finally she had to buy something. She went to the supermarket and came back and she saw his father was crying. And she was very much upset. She said, "Dad, what did you do? I was waiting for you here all the time. Now it is only a few more hours. The doctor said that you should not cry. What happened to you?" And you know, the father said, "Daughter, I never wanted to do this. But when I was thinking about the people whom I left dying without Christ, I could not keep my eyes from tears. Was crying." He knew that it caused his sight. He was not purposely crying. He was not purposely crying anyway. No one wanted to do that. But when he was thinking about the perishing souls, the people whom he is working with, or to whom he has given his life, that is passion. That is passion. He is sharing gospel not just because there is a commandment in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 onwards. No. Of course there is a commandment. But that is passion. He says, Paul says, if I preach gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Sometimes this is a problem. When we preach gospel, we boast about it. We glory in it. Many times the missionaries, when they share about their troubles and struggles in North India or in other places, I really feel bad. I'm not that much troubled when somebody else is saying about the commitment and sacrifice a missionary makes. But a missionary, is when he is saying about himself, is something real bad. And you need to know that all these things, I don't think many of the missionaries are suffering that much. Everybody is suffering, right? Everybody. Sometimes I ask people in the place where we work, we started our work in North India, that is Damo. It is a very hot place and extreme climate. Sometimes it's very cold and sometimes it's very hot. And when it is hot, it is sometimes, even once, you know, we have test 52 degrees centigrade on the meter. So you know that 52 degrees centigrade is real tough. Real tough. So what we did, we were doing everything before 8 o'clock, but and we are coming back, distributing tracts and all those things, and coming back at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, we reach back and we sit in the room and we use a cooler and we stay there, and 3:34 again we go out and show some film or something like that. So it is, of course it is difficult. And I have heard many people are saying, oh, you are suffering very much in Madhya Pradesh where there is 52 degrees centigrade. Yes, but I have seen people who are running this tire, what do you say, this tire retreading, or you know, those people, they are also living in Damo, even Malayalis. Don't you think that they also are undergoing this kind of climate? Isn't it? Do you think that God has put more heat of sun towards the missionaries and less for them? No. They are praying to their God that some people who are, you know, Punjabis, they will come with their tire and change it and things like that. And if they come, do you think that they will say, I'm sorry, this is 12 in the noon, I cannot do that? No. We people go out early in the morning and come back at 9 o'clock and sit under a comfortable room and say, oh, it's too hot. Those people are working for their livelihood, maybe 10,000, 20,000 rupees per month. And we say we are standing for eternity and we are complaining that we are undergoing these circumstances. The greatest joy in the world, the biggest job a man can find, I certainly believe it is working in the vineyard of the Lord. I'm not asking that everybody should go for full-time evangelism work and all, but if you ask me from my own experience, I chose it because I could not find a better job. And I don't think I will be able to find a better job in my lifetime. I have seen people of different walks of life. Diplomats, politicians, high officials, and I have seen people, even rulers. I've never found somebody who is having the joy that I have in my life. It's because I chose the work of the Lord. It's the same. My children knows the value of it because I told them this is the way. I never thought of leaving this thing and going back because I'm enjoying the presence of the Lord and I'm obeying my Lord in every way. So what I said, We need to see, when you have a passion for the soul, then if you are not preaching gospel, you feel like Paul, what Paul says, woe to me if I do not preach gospel. That is not because there was a force from outside, the force of a commandment. It is the force from within. Because he loves people, he could not do something else. He was eager to preach gospel because it's an outcome of his love towards people. Do we love people like that? That's a question. Are you ready to take all the sacrifice that is needed? 2 weeks back, 3 weeks back, I was in Sri Lanka. I met a person. His name is Santanapullai. But you know, people call him bulletproof pastor. You know why? He was working in Kilinochi, you know, where the fight was between the LTTE and the Sri Lankan government. And every time you hear the noise of this stand gun, and this man was risking his life and going to that place and sharing gospel with people, and even he was hit by a bullet, but still he is alive. And I met his son. He is also a pastor, Pastor Suruban. And he was asking me one question, just one thing. Our people were ready to die for one person, that is Prabhakaran. It is not said by me, it is said by a Sri Lankan Tamilian who had close association with these people. Our people were ready to die for one person, Prabhakaran. But how many Christians are ready to die for Jesus Christ? You understand, my friends? We say it is a commandment. It is not just a commandment. We need to see that we are urged. It is an urge from within. It is not a command from outside. It's not a force from outside. It's an urge from within. Love. What is needed is loving people. When you love the people, then certainly you are ready to do anything for the Lord. The religious fanatics, they are appointing young kids even to die. You know that. These young guys and girls who is ready to die for their religion. But how many Christians are ready to die for Jesus Christ? Why? Because we lack love. Because we do not have a vision. That doesn't mean that there is no problem in your mission work and all. We face a lot of struggles. Even in Africa, when sometimes, you know, people ask, do you enjoy being in interior parts of Africa? Frankly speaking, I do not enjoy. How can you enjoy an open toilet, and how can you enjoy food that is covered with flies? How can you enjoy these kind of things? You cannot enjoy. But there is no question of liking or enjoying. You have a commissioning. You have a command. You have a commissioning. Why you are doing this? Doing this because there is something comes from within my heart that overcomes all the troubles. I'm enjoying not the food, I'm not enjoying the toilet, I'm enjoying obedience. I enjoy it. Why? Because I know that when I'm doing it, I'm obeying my master. When I'm doing it, I'm gaining something. What? The love towards people in Africa that drives me. The love. Our brigade general is here. If you are asking what the struggles and troubles the soldiers are suffering in the forefront, do you think that they are enjoying minus 30 degrees centigrade? Do you think that they are enjoying climbing all the mountains? It is not a pleasure trip. Maybe for 1 day or 2 days you can go there, live in the snow. I like it. I like it only for 2 days. It's not a picnic. The soldiers are not on a picnic. They are not enjoying minus 20 degree, minus 30 degree. They are not enjoying it. But they have an enjoyment. Why? Because in their heart they know that they are doing it for their country. They are there for a cause. When you stand for a cause, nothing else works. When you stand for a cause, you are sold to it. When you stand for a cause, you are for it, and there is nothing, nothing that hinders you from obeying the master. You enjoy it. You enjoy it not because it is enjoyable. You are enjoying it because you are standing for a cause. That's passion. And you know the story of City Start. Many, many places I have shared this story. I just want to say one thing that he said. You know the story of City Start. He was one of the richest person who lived in his life, his time in England. And he was a very known cricket player. He was the captain of the Cambridge University cricket team. And also he was playing for county cricket. He was known everywhere. His father was a very rich man. His father had kilometers of land in India and other countries. City Stud was born in a house where it was like a palace with more than 100 rooms. It's a big house. I've seen the photograph of that house with many laborers and all. But when he was called to China, God told him, asked him to sell everything and give it to mission and then go to China. It was closer to his marriage. He wanted to share it with his fiancée because she also was ready to go for China, of course. They decided to go for China, and it is then Jesus asked him to sell all the property. And she was afraid of telling it to his fiancée. So what he did, he sold everything, even before sharing it with his fiancée, and gave it to William Booth and other people who were doing ministry. And then he went to the fiancée and said, "My dear, God asked me to sell everything and give it to mission. I could not ask you. I'm sorry. I sold everything. I have kept only a small piece of land, a small money to make a small house for us just after our marriage, of course. I have sold everything else and gave it to the mission. Before we want to, God told me, before we go to China, you need to do all these things." And this woman was screaming, "Charles, what did you do? I don't want to hear anything from you." And he was afraid again. And he said, "Honey, God said, yes, that's what I'm asking. What God said? God said to sell everything. Yes, that's what I was asking. Why you kept something for us? Go and sell that also. Only then talk to me." She was more committed than City Stud. And they went to China. They lived there for some time. In adverse, China is not like, now you know China is very beautiful and you have, it's a very beautiful place. But in those days, you know, China, they were living in adverse situations, and finally, Charles' wife, City Stud's wife, she became sick and invalid, totally invalid. She needed one-to-one attention. So finally, they thought of just going back to England because they couldn't do anything, because City Stud, Charles was always looking after his wife and they couldn't do anything, practically nothing. So they went back to England, and then God gave him a burden for Africa. So he thought of just visiting the university campuses and students, challenging students, because he himself, along with other four people, Cambridge Five, he himself was committing for ministry when D.L. Moody was coming to the university and challenging people for mission. So he thought, if I challenge the youngsters, they will come to Africa. They will go to Africa. But you know, nothing happened. No one was volunteering to go to Africa. Then finally he said, if the young people are not ready to go, I will go. I am an old man. Even though I am an old man, this old man will go to Africa. And then came the biggest problem, what he will do with his wife. Can he take his wife? If he takes his wife, the same thing will happen. She needs one-to-one attention and he can do nothing in Africa. So they were discussing and praying and discussing and praying, and finally the wife said, doesn't matter. I need somebody. That's all. Even a home nurse can handle my things. If God wants you to go, I'm leaving you. And then leaving his wife in England. C.T. Studd went to Africa. He made a small hut of coconut leaves. And he named it Buckingham Palace. I have seen the photograph of that also. And he stayed there for 18 years. 18 years. And many people, whenever people see Charles, everybody will say, Charles, you're making a big sacrifice. Yes, it's a big sacrifice, isn't it? It's a big sacrifice, isn't it? But you know what Charles Studd used to say? When I look at the cross, anything and everything I do for him is not a sacrifice at all. When I look at the cross, anything and everything that I do for him is not a sacrifice at all. We are always boasting. That's why Paul says here, if I share gospel, if I preach gospel, if I'm preaching gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Nothing to glory of. This is what I want to say, my friends. Don't think that you're making a sacrifice if you preach gospel. Don't think that you are doing a favor to the Lord when you preach gospel. There is nothing to glory of. Look at the cross. When you look at the cross, what do you see there? A man who is dying for you. A man who is dying for you. So it is natural that you are doing something for him. Verse 17 it says, for if I do this of mine own will, if I do this of mine own will, mine own will, the meaning is, if I am doing it spontaneously, that's the meaning of that passage. Sharing gospel should be a spontaneous thing. It should not be because you are commanded to do that. You get me? Many times we say, or you know, we find somebody and pay something. I'm not against paying or, you know, giving money or anything. I'm not against that. But what is our motivating factor? If you do not get what you get, if you do not get what you expect, many times when we share gospel, some people get money, some people get honor. Some people are appreciated. Some people, you know, they just appraise. Appraisal is something that, you know, make people mad. But Paul says, if I do this of mine own will, the real meaning is, whenever I meet a person, I felt I need to share gospel, not because there is a commandment in Matthew chapter 28. In those days, Matthew chapter 28 was not written, right? At the time of Paul, it was not even written. Okay? But still, he says, if I should, I'm not sharing gospel with a person whom I meet, you know, there's something that comes up in my heart, something is burning. It's like a fire. I fail to eat. I cannot eat. I cannot breathe even. Because I am troubled in my body, my soul and spirit if I do not preach gospel. If I do it spontaneously, then certainly it is not the question of boasting. That is what exactly God wants me to do. Verse 17, for if I do this on my own will, I have a reward. I have a reward means he is not saying about the reward that he is going to get in heaven. This is where we need to understand the scripture very plainly. Many times we are not understanding the scripture. Many times we have some kind of glasses we are using. So, you know, every time we speak about rewards in heaven. But Paul is not saying about a reward in heaven. He says, if I preach gospel spontaneously, I have a reward. That means, that gives me joy. If I do not share gospel spontaneously, that gives me burden that burdens me, that makes me burning inside me, that is a disaster to me in my body and soul, if I do not share gospel spontaneously. And if I share gospel spontaneously, thank God. Praise the Lord. I could share gospel with him. Thank you, Jesus. That's the reward. That is the reward. In the beginning of your Christian life, you are always thinking about the punishment that disobedience will bring to you and the reward that obedience will bring to you. You are thinking about punishment and reward. But that is a very low kind of spirituality. Now you know, it is his thing. It is not a commandment. It is not a burden from outside. It is an urge from within. And now he says, if I speak, if I preach gospel, that's a reward for me. A relaxing. Because I am unleashed from all the bindings. Because if I do not share gospel, something is binding me, some kind of burden inside me. This is passion. This is passion. We are supposed to do that. Once D.L. Moody, when he was doing a lot of work, finally he felt that he didn't share gospel with somebody that day. So he went outside. It was almost dark. He was after a person. He met a person. He was sharing, started sharing gospel. This man said, I'm not interested. But you know, man, I'm telling something that is very essential for your life. And he goes on sharing gospel. And finally that man said, man, mind your business. And what, you know what D.L. Moody said? Yes, I'm doing it. This is my business. This is my business. Is it our business? That's the question. Is it our business means, you know, spontaneous. This is our business. We have nothing else to do. This is our business. One day D.L. Moody was sharing gospel very forcefully to a person, and that man was asking, he never revealed that he was D.L. Moody, and somebody was, the man was asking, hey, why you are not leaving me? Are you D.L. Moody? And he said, yes, I am D.L. Moody. Because even the people knew that he is a persuader. D.L. Moody was known for his pursuing people for Jesus Christ. He was after people. Why? Do you think it was because, oh, in Matthew chapter 28 it is written like that, and if I do not share gospel when I go when I'm in eternity at the judgment seat, God will ask me a question, did you share gospel? Now nothing of this comes to your mind when you are loving people. When you're loving people, that the passion is an outcome of your love. It is spontaneous. If I do without a force from outside, that is, of course, that's a glad thing. Woe unto me if I do not share gospel. Even if it is not out of a burden of love, you are, what is written here? For if I do this on my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with the commission. Of course, there is a commissioning. Of course, you are supposed to share gospel, but Paul says, I have a commissioning, I have a commandment, God has asked me to share gospel, but I am sharing gospel not just because I have a commandment, not just because I am commissioned. Now I am doing it for myself, because if I want to be released, I need to see that I am sharing gospel. When I do not share gospel, that is a burden. When I do not share gospel, I feel I am totally falling down. I'm totally down. I feel that I'm totally crushed. You get me, my friends? This is passion. Today, I just want to ask you to keep this kind of passion. We talked about vision, and the vision should become a passion. When it becomes a passion, what happens? When you go to bed, you dream of it. When you wake up, you work for it. When it is a passion, when you go to bed, you are dreaming of it. And you wake up, you work for it. This is exactly what is needed now. Let's close our eyes. Friends, we are special people. We are abstaining from many things, even normal things. If you are a true Christian, you will never ask a question whether it is right or wrong. You ask only one question, whether it is building up the kingdom of God. The first priority of a student is not anything else but the kingdom of God. We have a passion like that? Of course, we have a vision. When we have a vision, we are seeing things differently. But more than that, we need to see that our vision becomes a passion. When it is a passion, you love the people, and when you love the people, then certainly you cannot keep yourself away from sharing gospel. God wants you to share gospel with others, and you need to love them. When you love them, you want to see that they are also reaching the same stage that you have reached. You were unholy and God made you holy, and you want to see that the people with unclean lips, they also are becoming holy, and that's the reason why God has sent you to the people. And that is my passion. When I see people, I'm seeing it with a spiritual eye. A spiritual eye. With a spiritual eye, when you see it, you're not seeing the outer things of a person. You're seeing him as a person. Jesus saw the multitude not as a multitude. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And he was preaching. Share gospel. Do it spontaneously. Not because you have a commandment. Not because you have a commissioning. When you do it, of course, you are supposed to do it because you are commissioned, because you have a commandment. But when you do it as an obedience to a commandment, you are not enjoying it. You are not getting a reward because you are just fulfilling your responsibility. Many people are sharing gospel just because they have a grim sense of responsibility, sense of duty. But a person who has a passion, he's not sharing gospel just because he has a responsibility, but he is loving people. When you do it on your own, without the driving force, without a driving force, from outside, when you do it from your own heart, when you are an urge from within that makes you preach gospel, you have the reward. You have the reward means you have the joy. So when you do it on your own, you have the joy. Even otherwise, you are supposed to share gospel, but when you are doing it spontaneously out of your love towards people, you have a joy. So my friends, being a witness for the Lord is not a burden at all. Being a witness for the Lord is a joy. When you do it from your own, you have a reward. You have a joy. Do we have this kind of passion, my friends? Why do we share gospel? Is it because the passion we have? Do we love people? Is it an outcome of love? Today, I just want to ask you to humble yourself and ask God, Jesus, I want to be a man of passion. I need to have a passion for the perishing soul. I want to love them. And my sharing gospel should be an outcome of my love towards people. I'm not just asking a question, what is wrong, what is wrong? God, fill my heart with a true love towards the perishing soul so that I can do it spontaneously, joyfully, How many of you will pray? Raise your hands and pray. Lord, I want to see that I'm becoming a man of passion, loving people and sharing gospel spontaneously. Not because I have a burden from outside, but because I have an urge from within. I want to see that love is urging me to share gospel. Whenever I see a person, help me to love him, O Lord. Whenever I see a person, help me to see that person with spiritual eyes. Whenever I see a person who is confused, let me see him as a sheep without a shepherd. Whenever I see a person like him, Lord, help me to take his hands and give it in your hands, because you are the good shepherd. Help me, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.